I earned my degree online at Arizona State University. I chose to get my degree at ASU because I knew that I'd get a quality education, they were recognized for excellence, and that I would be prepared for the workforce upon graduating. To be associated with ASU, both as a student and alum, it makes me extremely proud, and having experienced the program, I know now that I'm set up for success. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
Welcome to episode 16 of season 2. If you just joined, this is Maria at Maria the Arcane on Instagram, and I have Robin at Attired Witch on Instagram. We Hello. Also have a very, very special guest this podcast, and it is Corey Hutchinson, and you may know him from his book New World Witchery. Welcome,
Hello.
Corey.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being
yes.
here.
Yeah. So, Corey, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you?
Well, sure. Is this the superhero origin story?
Let's hear it.
I was born. Like you said, I wrote the book New World Witchery, which is basically an overview kind of guide to North American folk magic based on, you know, a podcast that I've been running for the past almost 12 years at this point, where we talk to practitioners of various branches of North American folk magic. We do articles and discussions about aspects of North American folk magic. I do that with my co-host Lane, who is absolutely delightful. Adore her. So this is all just, come together in book form recently. That's my long time fascination is folk magic, particularly North American folk magic. So, that's me.
I really like your book, by the way.
Amazing. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Aw, thanks. If nothing else, it'll hold the door open when you need to.
That's what, but it's such an easy read. Like when
that's
we first brought
say.
It up for our Discord members, they're like, this is a textbook, Maria. Why did you choose this as our book club book? And I was like, but you got to understand, it's a good book. And it's like,
it is a textbook, but it's also like not a textbook. I want people who are listening to this who've seen Corey's book and have maybe been intimidated by the size. It's also in like 16 point font, and Corey writes in a way that it is very easy to read. I'm a relatively slow reader, I think, and I think I read the whole thing in a week while juggling a newborn and my job. So
I know.
If I can do that and find the time for it, anyone can. And that's why
that makes me feel terrible, Robin, because I got your book and I think I've only gotten through the first three chapters so far just because I got so busy. But now I'm like, well, I feel terrible.
You're a really bad person, but like I will forgive you because not everyone can meet my standard of living. Well, we were doing it for book club, so I really made an effort to prioritize it. Listen, I am a Greek powerhouse, okay?
You are indeed. You are some kind of magnificent goddess.
Listen,
for sure.
That was amazing. You can ask Maria. I don't actually take free time.
No. Like you power on in the morning and you're on until you power down in the evening.
Yeah, so. It's true. I work every waking hour that I'm awake. Even then I was still working.
Yeah. Well, you were talking in one of your episodes at one point about like I think it was your perfect day or your perfect morning, and like you were like, and at this hour I get to work. And it was sort of like, yeah, I feel you on that, but just like that, your perfect morning is like I have to have work to do. If I don't have work to do, I don't feel complete. So.
Yeah. But we're talking about you. I don't want to talk about me.
We see it's that old, the Bette Midler one, like, oh, that's enough of me talking about myself. Now you talk about me for a while, right?
I love Bette Midler.
Oh, but, my goodness.
So, do you yourself practice, Corey?
I do, yes. Yeah, I've been practicing folk magic, some form of witchcraft or another, since I was a teenager, really. And I've always been interested in folk magic. I mean, even since I was a very young child, you know, I remember going into a bookstore with my mom, who was very Catholic, which that doesn't preclude practicing folk magic, obviously.
Right, of course.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, and there was this enormous book on the shelf called, it was just called White Magic by someone named Patty Slade. And it's really focused on kind of British seasonal folk witchcraft magic, stuff like that. But like, I begged her for this book. And like, I think she, you know, flipped through it, was kind of like, well, there's not a lot of devils or anything in here, so maybe it's okay. I'm like, oh, if she had known. But it was just one of those things that, like, I really liked that, because as I was flipping through it, I saw there were lots of little interesting tidbits about, you know, peeling an apple all in one strip and throwing the strip over your shoulder, and it reveals the initial of your true love and stuff like that.
Exactly. I love that.
And that's the kind of stuff that, like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, that's, you know, I love the sort of fictional wand waving, sparks flying magic on the movie screen, but I knew that wasn't, you know, not that it wasn't, you know, real in some capacity,
right?
You know, and sort of able to inspire us or something, but it, you know, I knew that wasn't something that we were going to see out in the world. I knew there was something. There had to be something out there, and so, you know, even from a very young age, I was absolutely looking for that, and yeah, finding it was delightful. Loved it.
I love that. Yeah,
I just googled it.
I can't recall most of the books I read as a teenager, so I'm always jealous of anyone who can. I know, I was a military brat, so anytime my books, like, I would get a bunch of books and then they'd go missing the next move, and so it's like, yeah,
that sucks.
but I was in your book, you brought up Mormonism, and my family was actually more Mormon until we left the church. And I was like, oh my God, I never thought of them practicing folk magic. And I was like, but they did.
The Book of Mormon is the most occult fucking book I've ever read in my life.
Homie
looked in a hat.
And
he looked into a hat and went, I've seen the word of God.
Well, I mean, they have the peep stones as well. The peep stones that he used for translating and reading the book and all that. And the angel, his dad was a treasure hunter up in Palmyra area of New York. And then
day practices where they've got the special outfits that they wore in the secret temple nobody can talk about. Tell me that doesn't sound like some OTO shit.
you can actually go in the temples. You can actually, if you find out when one's being built. So they recently built one over here in Philadelphia. And before they are consecrated, you can go in and tour them. And I always think that's really interesting. But once they're consecrated, it's like verboten.
I'm curious.
Growing up Mormon, was there a lot of emphasis placed on like dreams as sort of like revealing messages or anything like that?
Honestly, my family were like, we would go to church and then would be like, my mom was just there to like make friends because she grew up in the Mormon church. And so she just felt like she had to continue on with the thing. But we left actually right after I was baptized. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Mom was like, that's good. Okay. We're leaving.
We checked like, that box. Thanks. Peace.
I know.
That's so funny.
But, yeah, we didn't really get into it as much as others did, but it was really interesting reading about it in your book and was like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah,
I'm sure definitely. My mom or my grandma would be like, yes. But
oh my gosh, yeah, that's so funny. I was going to ask you, because you did say that you are practicing and you're a practitioner of folk magic. Do you feel like it leans towards any specific tradition or just like a amalgamation of several?
I would say that I'm probably most deeply immersed in Southern Conjure, which is sort of a broader brush, sort of Southern style folk magic that You know, it has elements of hoodoo, but it also has elements of Scots Irish practice, has elements of some of the stuff that you find kind of in the Appalachians more generally, and you know, the upland South kind of stuff. And that's what I was kind of raised around. And so there's a lot of that that I kind of knew from being in that area. And then the other side of that is, like I said earlier, my mom was Catholic, but sort of similarly to what you're saying, Maria, was sort of like, well, we went to the church. It wasn't a this wasn't a going to mass every, three times a week or anything like that.
Exactly.
But it was very much kind of, oh, you lost something, you should pray to St. Anthony. You know, it was that right, sort of folk Catholicism, which as I got older, I was like, oh, there's a lot of that I still draw upon, even though I'm not exactly... I certainly wouldn't be in good standing with any official take, a member of the church, but I think I kind of practice a sort of roundabout folk Catholicism that's also very linked with sort of animism and things like that. And then the Southern Conjure kind of influences me as well. So
yeah,
those are the two things that I really do.
For the record, I don't think anybody, even like devout Catholics, are really in good standing with Catholicism. No. Isn't that like the whole point of the religion?
Right. That's like the bare minimum requirement is that you need to be sinning in order to be saved. Yeah, right?
And isn't it like by default that all the Catholics are like guilty of something? Like, isn't that
For sure.
The point?
and you can get told about it all you want by any member of your family. You can absolutely be as guilty as you need to be.
So I was talking about your book to my wife and her brother, and they grew up Southern Baptist, like the whole like bringing out the snakes and service and like people going into trances and stuff like that. And so I was like, did you guys ever consider that was a ritual, like magic-ish? And they were like, oh, well, now that you put it that way, I mean, yeah, maybe a little bit. So it was right.
I was just with Temp, as you guys know, and my husband is a Catholic, and we were talking about ghosts or something, and he's like, nope, don't believe in ghosts. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. And Temp goes, your entire religion is based on ghosts. And he was like, what do you mean? And she's like, the Holy Ghost? It's like the main guy? And that really made me laugh.
Yeah, plus there's the whole like, whether or not they formally recognize it, the whole like the sort of hierarchy of levels of different, like the sort of Dante's Inferno, well, you're in hell, but you're not in real hell. You're in kind of like hell's suburbs right now.
So
like, I mean, maybe there's a day trip that people take back from some parts of the other world.
We were talking about limbo and how limbo is a part of Earth. Yep. And it's like, it's directly below the Earth's crust. It is on Earth. Like, we'll love a little good bit of Catholic jokes in the morning. Oh, my. If you just joined us this week, every week we talk about an upcoming lunar phase and what that means for our practice. This is just a recommendation for, what you can utilize the moon for. It is not an astrological reading. Please stop DMing me telling me that I did it wrong because it didn't affect your sign, because that's not what this means. So that being said, the full moon in Pisces on September 20th. So when this comes out tomorrow, it'll be 3 days after this episode airs. We are looking at a bunch of different energies that involve kind of like dream work, magic. We're looking at things like past life healing. We're looking at divination, interpreting our life cycles. We are looking at healing from trauma and basically just allowing the dream aspects of ourselves, the intuitive aspects of ourselves, etc., to thrive. If you are doing magic that is trying to heal or repair things, you might want to focus on things like repairing lack of empathy in somebody, pride, any detachment or indifferences that somebody has, or you yourself has. We remember people aren't projects, but perhaps we need to do a little magic every once in a while, and that's okay. These are the sort of things that we're going to be looking at. So very, very emotional moon. So if feelings crop up for you during this lunar phase, that's normal and valid. And as Maria said, there is, well, you said off air, none of you know this. I'm saying it like you know that. There is a retrograde coming up on the 23rd is when Mercury retrograde starts. Yes. So you can do what Maria does and already start blaming retrograde before it starts.
Hey, as I said, Nike said it and said that we're already starting to see some of the effects. I'm just saying. I'm just going off of what Nike said. But on the
I'm
Pisces
gonna text
moon,
Nike and I'm going to be like, you've started something.
So, like, I like to use the Pisces moon for, as you said, divination. And I like to use water for the Pisces moon. So I do like scrying with water, which if you are on our Patreon, we have a water scrying spell on there. So I highly recommend looking at that. And also I like to do a good tarot reading about like emotional healing and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, it's a very...
So, Therese, would you also, I mean, with the emotional content of Pisces, would you feel like, you know, that's also a time when you might look to either provide yourself with kind of emotional comfort food or emotional comfort for others. Not necessarily like food, although I'm never going to say no to a good meal. But but also like, you know, watching your favorite movie or reading a favorite book or something to that effect, right?
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah.
And I would also say... In terms
my
of
moon,
like
my personal moon lands on the full moon. So yes, I'm definitely already doing those things. I mean,
I love that for you. I would also say in a non-magical aspect of things, in my, at least my personal experience, when it comes to the Pisces full moon, this is the time that the gaslight girl boss and gatekeep people come out. So just witness it and move on. Don't fight with them. You know what I mean? They're doing their own thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Pisces traditionally rules the feet, right? So, you know, walk away.
Literally walk away. Yeah. And also, I'm pretty sure that the high priestess, high priestess is the Pisces card in tarot. And I could be wrong. I know I wrote a whole book on this, guys. If I'm wrong, then
you wrote a book.
Wow.
You should know
love
these
to see
things.
It. I'm pretty sure it is Pisces though, for the high priestess. And
remember, we could just blame it on mom brain. It's fine. I mean,
well, now
okay.
I'm like second guessing myself. No, it is Pisces. Woo!
You opened your book, didn't
you? Oh my
you?
God. What am I, like an author or something? Anyway. I like know my actual subject or something? Impressive, Robin. Dang. But in the where I was going with this is the high priestess is very much so about like already knowing and being of a higher mentality and a higher mindset. And so when the triple G's come out, you channel that energy and just, you know what I mean? You're above it and move on. I can't believe I forgot that. It is mom brain. Everything is mom brain.
Mom brain. It's fun. To the next. So, if you just started listening to us, every podcast we talk about a random tarot card. We go over the universal meaning and then we go into our own interpretations of them. Hearing other people's opinions helps beginners form their own opinions, or even those who have been practicing for a while expand their views on other meanings. So, this week we're talking about the Nine of Pentacles. On this card, you'll see a lady dressed in her finery. She's holding a bird and standing in front of abundant grapevines, and there are two trees in the background as well as a big house. The universal keywords of this card are success, achievement and enjoying the finer things in life. When this card pops up in readings, I always think it is important to note that it isn't a 10, which means, well, yes, it does resemble some success. We have to keep it up in order to, you know, to keep it going. Success can be fleeting. And just because we have a successful harvest this year doesn't mean that we're going to have one the next. This doesn't mean we can't enjoy ourselves, though. We should. I mean, we've worked hard for what we've cultivated thus far. And if that means, you know, going out and buying yourself something nice, do it. Go out and have a fancy dinner, upgrade your living situation. You deserve it. Additionally, even though, you know, we still have to continue to keep up with the abundance we've created. This card means it will be like smoother sailing from here on out if you know, handle the maintenance. But once again, if you let it fall to the wayside, you'll have to work hard to get it back and to get back to where you once were. So how do you see this card, Robin, dear?
The exact opposite of you.
Of course.
The Nine of Pentacles to me is a kept woman. So it is not obviously woman being in the card, not specific to the gender of the querent. It is a card of somebody who has the finer things in life, but also gets to live the life of luxury where they get to hang out in their mm-hmm. garden and enjoy the things that are around them. It is a card that does, like you said, it's in the process of developing things like our self-worth, our self-discipline, but it also tells mm-hmm. us that while we're working on these things, that you are not going to sort of lose your footing, if you will, in terms of your personal wealth and comfort. And so it is finding this really great balance between things like material wealth and also having the time and energy for our personal self-growth, our spiritual growth, and, you know, just having inner completion. I think it's like a kept woman. It is a housewife, but it is a housewife who has people who clean her house for her and, you know, a personal chef to cook. She just gets to focus on things that fill her own personal cup. And I think that's kind of, I like this card. Every
that's
time I see it, I'm like,
Empress energy.
Very big Empress energy. Yeah. But the Empress is so much about like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Growing all those things mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. I feel like this is a little bit more stable than that, if that makes sense. The growth has already happened but we can to a functioning level, and now we can just kind of continue to grow and explore ourselves, if that makes sense.
I love your point of view. I disagree. I'm just kidding.
Well, that's because you're stinky and wrong.
I know. Per usual. So, Corey, do you read?
I do. I tend to use playing cards more than I use tarot cards. And this would kind of equate to, I think, the Nine of Diamonds.
I love that.
Just in terms of sort of the pentacles being about sort of material things, the diamonds being about sort of material things. But then, you know, so this would be kind of daydreaming or peace, which mm-hmm. you get this idea that she sort of has this luxury time in the garden. It could also be, depending on kind of how you read, it could also be the Nine of Clubs, which also has that kind of business association that the Pentacles have. And that would be like a forest or a reaping, a harvest of some sort mm-hmm. as well. So the mm-hmm. idea of sort of seeing things that have come to completion, but not necessarily without labor. But the real thing, like with the thing I tend to do with a lot of cards when I'm reading cards, is I also try to sort of think about the story that's kind of being connected here. And this, you know, exactly. She's got a falcon, right? Like that's the bird that she's mm-hmm. got is like a falcon mm-hmm. with a hood, right? Mm-hmm. And so it makes me think of there's this Russian fairy tale called Finis the Falcon or Finis the Bright Falcon, which mm-hmm. is all about this young woman who has this kind of prince who can transform into a falcon who comes and visits her in her either her, you know, tower or her garden. It's kind of what Robin's saying, the kept woman, right? The sort of mm-hmm. secret. She has this kind of space to herself and she gets to have this lover that comes visit her. And it's really, really nice. But then as soon as she reveals that she has this lover, her sisters decide, well, we don't want you to be happy because we're sisters and that's what sisters do, right? So we're going to put stuff on the window to chase him away and all this. So to me, one of the things that you could see in this card is a sense of being satisfied, but kind of keeping it to yourself, enjoying it privately, enjoying a little bit of peace and tranquility and the fruits of your labors privately without needing to make a show of it. Mm-hmm. So that you have that space, which is a little more 9 energy than 10 energy, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Love that. Oh my God. Yes. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's her secret. It's her secret garden. She's this kept woman in her little secret garden, just thriving, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With her little falcon friend, right?
Her little bird friend.
She's on Twitter, but not that Twitter. So
she keeps her account private.
Yeah, exactly. She's got it locked up. It's got a little hood.
So the autumn equinox is right on the horizon. This is another harvest festival in a time of equal night and day. On one hand, we celebrate the abundance we've created through the year, and on the other, we explore the polarity of life and death. The leaves are starting to change. Well, if you're not having a second summer like us in the south, and the leaves are starting to slip in hibernation for the cooler days, the nights will get longer, the days will get shorter. Everyone seems to begin to slow down, which is nice respite from the go-go nature of summer. So what are you doing, Corey, for this time ahead?
Sure. First, my actual wedding anniversary is on September 23rd. So that tends to kind of take precedence.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of other things. So there's that. But then I actually don't wind up celebrating what sort of is normally seen as like Mabon on the autumnal equinox. Just because my practice is more Catholic inflected, I wind up celebrating something called Michaelmas. Which happens on September 29th. It's technically the feast of St. Michael and all archangels, which the archangel stuff was added on a good bit later. It used to just basically be St. Michael's Day, and St. Michael is one of the archangels. But there's a lot of really neat lore that kind of gets packed into that. So Michael is one of the few angels that's named in the Bible. He's seen to do battle with this kind of great dragon in the book of Revelation and all this kind of stuff. And I'm not going to get, don't worry, I'm not trying to get all biblical on y'all. I'm saying this because they're like,
oh no, like this is this, really interesting.
Yeah. So there's this fun mythos that kind of goes with this. So you really have like kind of these two things. And honestly, like I actually put on my, when I'm doing my kind of like, my honoring, I'll do, candles to both Michael, and then I do kind of a version of Lucifer as sort of a counterbalance, because it's both of their day, really. He is also essentially an archangel, right? Just not like all of us Catholics, he's just not in good standing, right? So, so I do that, and it's also a good day for like telling devil tales, right? So telling stories like the Devil's Sooty Brother from the Brothers Grimm's and things like that.
So it's kind of like the whole, like, this, you know, exploring the polarity of life and death a little bit, just like.
Yeah, it's really upper world, underworld kind of mingled, because this, you know, the dragon is also kind of the serpent. And so you can do like sort of this slipping into the earth, chthonic sort of stuff, and connecting with the underworld that way. And then.
Yeah.
And then there's also sort of a, because Michael is the protector, the archangel protector, with the big old sword. I also sort of renew all the wards on my house that day as well. So I put up a lot of sort of protective stuff around my house during that time period. So that's me. Oh, and blackberries. Blackberries are a big part of it, because you're not supposed to pick blackberries after Michaelmas, because after that, he's on them or spits on them.
I remember reading about that somewhere before, and I remember thinking that was so interesting. So I didn't mean to shout like that. Like
I love it.
Robin got so excited.
I know about
I would have got it on Jeopardy. I would have got it.
I'd still lose Jeopardy, but I would get the $600 for that 1 point.
Absolutely.
And be so excited about it, too.
Except for I wouldn't get it because I'd word it wrong. I'd just be like, blackberries!
It wasn't in the form of a question. Please leave our stage. How did you get
please
it?
Please get out of here, Robin. Disgusting. Sorry.
What would you do, then?
I love that I zoned back in for half a second to be like, blackberries, yeah, I know it. Woo.
Yeah, so what do you all do?
Well, for me, I do not celebrate the autumnal equinox as it often is. I also use this time of the year, though, to focus on wards. Like you, mm-hmm. like you said, I try doing it at like the end of September, beginning of October. I don't have like a specific date that I do it on, but that like 2 week window, I will do all my window washing and floor washing just to protect for the season ahead. I actually just did a ring of eggshell powder around my house, like. Mm-hmm. The day before I left for Portland because we were going to be gone and I didn't want anything inviting itself in. but yeah, I massively use this time of the year to focus on things like wards and like semi-annual big re-upping protections. So I focus on that sort of thing because especially when we focus on, not focus, but when we shift towards sowing, you have like, you know, the veil crumbles into dust and the plot of Ghostbusters comes to life. I told somebody about that this last weekend and they were like, that literally is the plot of Ghostbusters. I was like, yeah, I know.
That's the best.
But because we do traditionally see this time of the year as the beginning of the shift towards the veil thinning and getting at its thinnest or whatever, depending on, of course, what school of thought that you believe in. For me, in my culture, we are moving a lot closer to the Day of the Dead. And with that, it is its own kind of veil thinning. And I like to just start preparing now for that sort of thing. So keeping unwanted spirits out, but also inviting wanted spirits in, and that sort of balance, if it makes sense. So I do make chamomile washes for the windows. So it's essentially like a giant chamomile tea. And I wash all the windows and door frames with that. And then I do a peppermint-based floor wash. My house smells like an amazing herbal tea when I'm done. Yeah, but it does the job. So it takes like 3 days to get it all done, too. Because I don't know if you've ever hand-washed tiny home windows when you live in a school bus, but there are 50 of them. And it's a lot of windows. It's a lot of washing. And every year my husband's like, why don't you just use like a stick with the brush on it? And I'm like, that's not what it's for. It's not for literal washing. No.
I'm not trying to get things clean. What?
Yeah, I'm literally putting herbs on the wall. I'm not trying to clean something, you fool. You dangus. That's why I clean everything first and then I put this shit on it. And he's just like, you're weird.
Little chamomile, like, you know, those little petals, like, just hanging off.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever used chamomile before for, like, your skin. If you do a window washing with chamomile, don't wear gloves because your hands will feel incredible afterwards. Like, absolutely incredible. Thank me later.
And you smell delicious.
You will. You smell like apple. A fun little fact, chamomile means ground apple because it smells like apples. That's where the name comes from. So... you're all welcome.
This has been Robin's Trivia Facts.
I know the most ridiculous things like that. Etymology is my passion, okay?
No, I love it. Totally here for it.
It's good, okay? It's good, actually, okay? But yeah, that's what I'm doing. What about you, Em?
So my family and I, we personally treat the autumn equinox as like a Thanksgiving. We don't celebrate traditional Thanksgiving for, you know, obvious reasons, but we have like a huge dinner with all the fixings, and it's seriously a day of like nonstop cooking, and when it's all done, hopefully it's worth it. But my family and I go like around the table and tell each other how thankful we are for one another, and then we say what we wish would happen for each other this upcoming season.
That's cute.
And after dinner is all cleaned up, we do like a little family apple spell, which is actually on the Patreon. So if you're a Patreon member, please check it out. It's super easy and even delicious. It's a great way to get a whole family involved if you have like witchlings running around. And after all is said and done, and then if the night is cool enough, we sit around like a dressed cinnamon, allspice, and orange peel birchwood fire, and we drink like a glass of glog. Now, I know that's traditionally a winter drink, but it's my favorite and I'm not going to give it up. So, yeah, but it's just a day of like family and togetherness and stuff like that. So, yeah,
I love that.
And we also like, yeah, and we try to donate and stuff like, you know, give back in some way on Maybon as well. So,
that's nice.
Thanks.
I probably made pumpkin bread. So, I feel like that's pretty much the same thing as a lovely dinner in every way. Identical, some would even say.
I only make two big dinners a year, and that's all everyone is getting. So,
when is your other big dinner?
Oh, during the winter solstice. So,
oh, that I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Sometimes we have one for the, you know, for spring, but I don't know. Usually, it does not end up working out in my favor. But you know how it is with the equinoxes and the solstices. It's all about food and putting food in your stomach.
Bread. It's about bread.
That's literally every holiday that I can do is,
yeah.
How can I use this as an excuse to eat something I really want to eat?
It's for bread. Sure. Exactly. It is literally just bread. How many different ways can I make bread?
Yes. Yes.
I used to do recipes. Yes,
we don't need a wheel of the year. We need a wheel of baking.
Wheel of bread.
Or a wheel of the bread. Yeah.
I used to do recipes on Tired Witch for all the Sabbats, and I quickly realized I was like, I'm just giving them different like flour based recipes. That's all it is. Like I had like a sun dried tomato one for the summer solstice, like bread. I had the woven bread for Beltane, like just bread.
So I do feel like half of the year is like, you know, the sexiest celebrations ever, and then the second half of the year is like, okay, I'm getting ready for winter, I'm going to eat as much as I can. Yes.
See, to me, that those two things merge together, like feed me well. Yes, like let's eat lots of food, and then that, I don't know, that's something very sexy about really well-made food. So
that's so true. Like,
all year round, there's no distinguishing line for me, is what I'm saying.
I it's would all agree eating 1,000%. There is something sexy about really good food. There's something exceptionally sexy about really good food that was made with love. Okay. And I get that doesn't sound maybe like it should be that way, because most people think of like their mom making them food with love. But trust me, the food can be sexy, okay? Ooh, is that a sexy roast beef? Like, yes, it is.
I don't know if I actually want Robin's mashed potatoes now. I think that's...
Oh, you do? Yeah. You ever heard of a little thing called a cake of light? These are my potatoes of light, okay? Disgusting. If you are listening to this and you don't know what a cake of light is, do not Google it. Because you're gonna go, surely this isn't what she means. It is. That's exactly what
I'm
talking
about. At
least
wait till after the Mercury retrograde to Google that, please.
Oh God. Oh my God.
The best. So, Corey, what is stirring your cauldron this week?
You totally prepared me for the sexy voice. You told me there was going to be the sexy voice. And then I still was totally caught off guard by that. That was amazing.
Thank you.
What's stirring my cauldron is weirdly science-y stuff right now. There's been a lot of really fun kind of science-based things that have just either been running up against or kind of running into. So Kat Borealis, who does the Borealis Meditations podcast, she's a geologist and a pagan, and she's been posting from Ahuailau, which is this volcanic rift on Hawaii, and like showing like her doing field work there and like collecting some of the obsidian and things like that. And I don't know if you guys follow, do you know Alexis Nicole, the Black Forager?
Yes. I don't.
Yes. So,
I
don't.
Like her whole thing on TikTok. If you are not following her or watching her videos, you are doing yourself a massive disservice. She's amazing.
I will
She's
her
so
up.
Good. She's so good. And then like I just finished reading Merlin Sheldrake's Entangled Life, which is all about kind of why mushrooms will save us all, basically, and kind of getting into like fungi and plants and how they all work together. So weirdly, like science is just making me really, really happy right now.
And we need that. Yes, we do.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good. You know, we're a very magically oriented group of people. And sometimes it's really good to also kind of turn back to the real world and say, hey, the science can be just as enchanting as the magic is. So
exactly.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, and brewing like tinctures and salves and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, that's science-y. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, the only like difference between like, you know, scientists and like stuff like that, they have crazier, better equipment and a great education. So
yeah, for sure.
So, Corey, what's not stirring your cauldron this week?
You severely undersold the sexiness of that. That was excellent.
Thank you.
there's just no boundaries.
Here, just flinging boners for everybody, okay?
There's your t-shirt. There's your next podcast t-shirt, God. Flinging boners. So what's not stirring my cauldron right now? Is honestly, there's been kind of a rash of, and this has been not just, you know, this week or month, but very much kind of over the past couple of years, sort of instant experts coupled with anti-intellectualism, where you have people who, you know, because they did a 10-minute Google search, they now have, they now feel like they have a credible argument against people who have been doing, you know, lab research for the better part of a decade. You know, there was a strong kind of anti-book sentiment for a minute there with kind of
the
witchy
that.
Community, which, well, don't get me wrong, I don't think books are the end all be all of everything. And I'm not just saying that because I'm an author. I think, you know, before I did this book, I literally had something like 200 articles for free up on our website. But it's about, you know, making sure that people, you know, go and do their research and think through these things and don't just take for granted, you know, that because they saw one person on TikTok do this one spell this one way, that's the only way that spell can ever be done, or even the best way to do that spell. And then they'll take that information and then turn around and say like, well, you're not doing it the way that this other person did it, therefore it's wrong, and shut it down, everybody go home, right? So that's very frustrating.
Yeah.
I just wish people were saying, you know, oh, I don't know, or I'm open to learning, or I was wrong would be fantastic.
We get that all the time on like social media.
Yeah. I think that's something that social media in general could take home a lot better, is by learning to be okay with saying, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I made a mistake.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to learn from that.
Yeah. Exactly. It's impossible for anyone to know literally everything. So there's no shame in saying, you know what? I don't know. And I'm going to look that up.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? I don't know. And it doesn't really, you know, pertain to me. So I'm going to just move on with my life. And that's okay.
And then, yeah. And then there's the whole, you know, like not trusting experts, as you said. Like, you know, I posted to Twitter about witches being really pushy when it comes to fixing everyone's, you know, issues, including those with like chronic illness and even disabilities, and in the same breath, like scoffing at someone who says they got help for it medically. And, you know, I'm all for doing things natural when it warrants it. But unfortunately, you know, like there's a disease growing in my body. It isn't going anywhere, even with medical intervention in the herbs I take, the spells I do to help with, you know, help with it. But all I can do is treat it. So like someone coming in and being like, I can fix you is so cringy. I cannot.
I can fix you. I can fix you.
Yes. I'm gonna fix you. I mean, I would just reach up in me and grab it out. Yes. Just come here.
First of all, there is a joke there, and you just open the door for it. What Maria's saying, guys,
I
just wants to be fisted.
I heard it.
I think Maria is going to be getting some of Robin's potatoes of light real soon.
So. If somebody listening to this does not make a meme out of Maria getting fisted, I'm going to be so mad. Like, that's all I'm saying.
I'm not going to be mad. I would rather not. Let's not say
let me clarify before somebody takes it way too far. Do not take a photo of someone getting fisted and put Maria's face on it, please.
No.
I meant just a joke of like the expression, okay? Oh my god!
I think we need to go back to flinging boners. I think that's way better.
Oh Jesus Christ! But I'm going to go back to bed after this, guys.
I also think it's important to be like, you know, some witches are illiterate, but there are like other ways to learn this information. Sure. Like you can listen to like Corey's podcast, like, and you can also like,
podcast.
Yeah. But like, and then also go to witches that have like background and knowledge and stuff like that, and watch like their YouTube videos, because a lot of like, you know, authors and stuff like that do have different like media outlets where they talk about their work, and you learn a lot, and it's actually really fun to just sit there and watch it. So
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, yeah, especially, I mean, so many, I mean, that's the one thing I've seen is most of the authors we have kind of in the witchy sphere, at least the ones that I've interacted with and the ones that I think are reputable, they're so willing to share information. They're so eager to just connect and put information out there. And yeah, they would love for you to buy their book, but they're also just as happy for you to get it through your library. They're, you know, they're willing to put this stuff out there and really share it. I would say definitely.
Yeah. You
know, experts are not your enemy.
Yes, exactly. I agree.
And, I feel like a bunch of witches, like we're very creative people. So yeah, we're going to find any way to spread that creativity in that's even outside of books.
Even mashed potatoes.
Say that, Robin. I mean, you have like, what, 6 social medias. You go online.
You're being very loud right now. Okay. I've never done any of that in my life.
You make me feel so like I don't work enough.
That's true. You're very lazy. I'm constantly saying that.
I am. I know.
No.
I'm a lady
no.
of leisure, like the Nine of Pentacles in my garden.
Oh my god! Now that is a
you really do
woman.
Need to take a photo, Maria. You need to take a photo of you with a falcon if you can work that out somehow. Just you petting a falcon.
I can Photoshop that in.
real falcon, so I know it's real. Okay.
Animated. Oh, okay. I'm hearing it. Right.
Fantastic.
Please. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. These are accounts that we have found, shops that we found, artists that we found organically, and these are not ads. So that being said, as I have to say it every time, apparently, don't DM us asking to be on here or similar. It's not going to happen, and Maria and I will privately laugh at you. Not publicly, because we're not shamers. We're not name and shamers, but privately, we're mocking you. So don't do that. It's rude. So that being said,
so
Corey, who are you loving right now?
I am getting really excited about, there's going to be, you know, how every, you know, every October there's this sort of collaboration, or there's not a collaboration, but this sort of, outpouring of art from artists for what's called Inktober. And that sort of has shifted the past couple of years. And this year, I saw there's going to be a whole thing that's called Folktober, where they're using largely kind of British Isles folklore, but just sort of themes from folklore to inspire the art. So like one day they'll do the Green Man, one day they're going to do the Mary Lowe. They have Sin Eaters, they have the Dorset Ouser, Kelpies, things like that. So it's, you know, being inspired to do art kind of on that hashtag called Folktober.
That's cool.
And I'm really, really excited about that.
That is
I love October. It's so much fun online. Just seeing, like everyone gets so creative. And yes, please.
Yeah, as no, I artist, completely
I
agree.
I appreciate that 100%.
What about you, Maria?
So I got a book about maybe a month ago called Kitchen Witchery by Laura Woodward. And it is amazing. It is so good. It's a correspondence book, like for, of course, for, you know, kitchen witchery stuff. But it also has like recipes that I can actually eat. Like there's gluten-free and dairy-free recipes in there. And that's kind of, that's hard to find for kitchen witchery books. And she even goes into the different grains and what they mean and how you can use them in spell work, vegetables, and it's just a really well-written and well-researched book, and I really appreciate it. And I think she's she's starting to begin the process of writing a new book, and it seems like it's going to be something to do with house spirits, and I'm here for it. Like, 10 out of 10.
That's really cool.
So excited. Yeah. So how about you, Robin?
I, as you guys know, I just did a book signing in Portland at this place called Sea Grape Apothecary. And the shop in general was really cool. But specifically, I use their soap in their bathroom that they make there, like at the shop. And when I tell you, I have never in my life used a handmade soap that made my hands feel softer immediately afterwards. I bought 4 bars at the apothecary, and I'm probably going to be buying more. It was incredible, and they've got like a whole line that has correspondence, like magical correspondence with the soaps, etc. Like really freaking cool. It was honestly incredible. Like that entire shop was incredible, and they had an entire like bath line. So like I can't obviously speak for like the bath salts and stuff like that because I wasn't like, hey, can I take a bath really quick in your back bathroom? You think I could just take a little soap?
I'm just gonna get in the sink.
Just fold myself up in the utility sink. Like, this is great. But I did use their soaps, and it was incredible, and they all smell incredible. So I will be continuing to buy from them. And if you guys go and you buy a soap from them, which you should do, all the copies of my book at that store right now are signed, whether you buy it online or in person. So just saying, because I'm not bringing signed copies back to my store. That was a lot of work. Shipping all that.
Robin, I feel like I've learned in this episode that soft hands are very important to you.
It is important to me. Listen, here's my dirty secret story. You've called me on the floor, and I'm going to tell you the worst part about me. I have hyperhidrosis, which means that I have really sweaty hands and feet, like really sweaty, and it causes my hands to be like really dry simultaneously. Like they're really sweaty, but the salt from the sweat makes my hands dry. So soft hands is like hard to find for me. So yeah, it is important.
No, I love that. Very revealing. I love this.
Sweaty bitch.
I just imagine you with 2 buckets on the side with chamomile water, and you just have
literally
hands constantly.
Listen, it's true. If something does, if something for me works well enough that I notice my hands being soft, I'm like, it's such a big deal to me. It's so like, I'm like, wow. Oh, right. This is how hands are supposed to feel.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, I'm sweaty as shit. Funny. So that is 100% what's going on there. I am disgusting.
Oh,
Oh my god.
Reminds me of the TikTok thing. I'm still a piece of garbage.
Literally. I'm still a piece of garbage. That's me. But I'm still sweaty, bitch.
But now with soft hands.
Yeah, with soft hands. Thanks, Sea Grape Apothecary. Thank you all for being here today, and we hope that we will see you for our next episode on Friday, October 1st. And if you didn't already see, Maria and I made a website. It is coffeeandcoldwinds.com.
All credit goes to Robin. It's amazing.
You were there. You were there in spirit. So she was there, sort of. So it's fine. Maria helped. You can go to coffeeandcauldrons.com, where it has all of our links, including things like the free book resources that are free and legal, as well as the beginner list recommendations. It has links to our Twitter, our now Facebook, because we have a Facebook now, and our Instagram. And you can do any of that to find out more information about the podcast.
Yeah, or even better, joining us on our Discord tier, which is First Coven on Patreon, so we can answer your questions in our part two next time.
You'll even get to hear our very sexy voices for an additional 30-ish minute episode for being in the Patreon, casting tier and up.
So, again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch on Instagram.
And I'm Maria from @MariaTheArcane on Instagram.
And I'm Corey from @NewWorldWitchery on Instagram and all of the places.
All right, you guys ready?
You're ready?
Let's try it.
Let's do it. All right.
One, two, three. Bye, witches. Bye, witches. You guys so did good. Great.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.